The next day, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Behold, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. John proclaims what he has seen and experienced and knows to be true. It is his personal witness, his testimony, which is said to be amongst the most powerful forms of storytelling, because the offering of what is true for us can open up space for others to consider what is true for them, even when our experiences are different. Today's gospel text is about the decision to follow Jesus, to walk with him as those two disciples did in Galilee so long ago. And so today I hope you will allow me a few minutes to tell a story from my life, a personal witness, a testimony about the first few steps I took on my journey with Christ. Up until 2008, I considered myself firmly in the spiritual but not religious camp. Religion was not even on my radar. Outside of reading the occasional Dan Brown novel, I spent exactly 0% of my time thinking about Jesus. I'd never even stepped foot inside of a church for a worship service, not even a funeral or a wedding. I was living in Canmore, Alberta at that time. I had a communications consulting business. I was married. We had a condo and lots of couple friends over for dinner parties. I snowboarded on the weekends. I thought everything was going just fine. I thought I knew who I was and what I wanted out of life. And then everything changed. In very short order, and to my great shock, my marriage cracked and then broke. I was alone. Friendships got awkward. Hobbies felt shallow. Material possessions became sharp symbols of a life I no longer had, a person I no longer was, within a relationship that no longer existed. I was wounded and angry, very angry, which scared me. Knowing that I needed a clean slate, I packed up two backpacks and moved to Toronto, just a couple blocks from here. I remember the first time I heard about the Camino de Santiago, the ancient Christian pilgrimage route in Spain. I had CBC radio on in the background while I was working, and a woman was talking about her life-changing experience on the Camino and a book she had written about it, her witness, her testimony. I remember the strange feeling on the back of my neck trying to tell me that this was something important, but then another email came in and I just went back to work. 3 days later, I was walking outside of St. Lawrence Market, and there with a booth and her books was the same woman from the radio. I went over and talked with her. She asked me if I had ever walked the Camino. I said no, but I'm going to this summer. I'd never even thought about it until that moment, but in that moment, something shifted within me, and it couldn't not be true. And 2 months later, I packed up one of my two backpacks and got on a plane to southern France, where I would start my 30-day, 900-kilometer pilgrimage. At that time, and by all outward experiences, I was doing okay. At least that's what I was telling everyone, that I was moving on with my life. But inside that was far from true. I was bitter and broken. I was not moving on. I was trapped by my past. I was not particularly interested in my future, numb, just existing without really living. But then I started walking and I started feeling everything. Everything inside me burst to the surface. There under the Spanish sun, there was nowhere to hide from myself. I barely slept. On the seventh night of my pilgrimage, I couldn't stand being around other people in the hostels anymore, so I checked myself into a hotel. I was exhausted. I needed to sleep. I tried to sleep. I wanted to sleep, but I couldn't. And then just after midnight, raw and broken, wide open, and I know how this is going to sound, but I felt what I can only describe as a presence there in the room with me, a kind and comforting presence, what I would come to associate with a Christ-like presence. He came to me, and without words, in any traditional sense, he asked me what I wanted. And I said I wanted to set down the burden that I was carrying, this pain and anger. And again, without words, but in an unmistakably real way, he responded from within my own flesh, "You can set that down now. I can take that from you." And I wept, and I slept. And when I awoke well into the morning the next day, it felt like freedom. The road ahead would not be straight. I would forever bear scars, but in that moment, it felt like I could finally move forward into a new life, a new identity. It would take a couple more years to be baptized, and the call to ministry would come even later. But that day in Spain was the day I started following Jesus. John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Behold, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" What are you looking for? These are Jesus' first words in John's gospel. Perhaps they are Jesus' first words to each of us. How we answer may be very different. We have different backgrounds and experiences and needs. We all have different stories to tell, different burdens to bear. But I believe what Jesus does for all those who seek to follow him is to hold up a mirror and invite us to look hard at ourselves. He calls us to look into our hearts and to become aware of our most fundamental desires. What Paul Tillich speaks of as the ground of being, the subject of life's ultimate concern. What do we really want? What are we looking for? And into this fundamental question, Jesus does not seek to impose an idea or doctrine or ideology. And let's be clear, anyone who tries to force Christ upon another through guilt or fear or obligation or violence commits the very worst kind of heresy, because this is not what Jesus does. This is not where his power lies. As John the Baptist says, he is the Lamb of God. In front of the power and armies of empire and fright, in front of mighty weapons and death itself, stands a lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Calling Jesus the Lamb of God evokes the image of the Passover lamb from the book of Exodus. Within first century Jewish life, the Passover lamb wasn't a sin offering or an atonement sacrifice. Rather, the lamb was a ritual remembrance of the Exodus story, in which the lamb's blood protected the ancient Israelites from death, thereby making possible their liberation from Egyptian enslavement. Leaning into this rich tradition and spiritual truth, the gospel implies that Jesus comes to inaugurate a new Exodus. Not this time from captivity in Egypt, but rather from an even more restrictive internal captivity that holds us back from our true calling, being the children of God we are created to be. When John says that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Greek word he uses for takes away is ero, which means to raise, to lift up, to take away, to remove. It is the same word used at the end of the gospel in chapter 20 when John writes that on Easter morning, the stone has been ero, removed, rolled away from the tomb because Jesus has broken the shackles of death and risen to new life. Within John's theological understanding, this lamb who dies and rises is not something or someone independent from God. as the ultimate act of solidarity with a broken humanity. This is the Word that became flesh, the one who came as one of us to feel what we feel, to hurt as we hurt, to rage as we rage. And in the ultimate act of sacrifice for a beloved humanity, this is the one who came to take our pain into his own flesh, to take our pain and suffering and to transform it into new life through the power of resurrection love. And I know how this sounds. I know how this sounds in this world of cynicism, where encountering sacrificial acts makes us feel like someone is trying to sell us something. In these times of crushing materialism, where we strip the sacred and mystery and divine presence out of everything, I know how this sounds. But into our cynicism and materialism and doubts, Jesus simply says this: come and see. Don't take my word for it. Come and see. Come and experience for yourself. In order to understand the gospel, you need to experience the gospel. You need to experience the gospel of Jesus Christ alive in your own flesh, moving through your own life. As St. Augustine once said, "Solvitur ambulanto." It is solved by walking. It is solved by walking. As Christians, the question of our existence and identity are solved by walking beside the living Christ through this world. Like those first disciples following him through the places of need and suffering and injustice in this world, bearing witness and partnering with him as he offers the bread of life and the water that can quench even the deepest thirst. Jesus does not impose. He does not force. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In whatever way is true for each of us, making the decision to follow Jesus changes us, changes the trajectory of our lives, how we spend our time, our money. It forms new relationships with fellow pilgrims on the journey. It changes our identity. In the Bible, when God changes someone's name, as with Abram, who became Abraham, and Sarai, who became Sarah, and Jacob, who became Israel, it also always has a special significance. In the Gospels, Simon is called to be the rock of faith and strength, the rock upon which the church would be built. The same can be true for us. Answering Christ's call allows us to start seeing ourselves and each other as Christ sees us, beloved, cherished, and worthy inheritors of his ministry of love. And make no mistake, this call is not just for those in professional ministry. As it says in the United Church's Song of Faith, we are called together by Christ as a community of broken but hopeful believers, loving what he loved, living what he taught, striving to be faithful servants of God in our own time and place. For the sake of the world, God calls all followers of Jesus to Christian ministry, to embody God's love in the world. The work of the church requires the ministry and discipleship of all believers. We all have different stories to tell. Our witness and testimony and experience are unique to us. But the pilgrimage of our lives has led each of us here, online and in person, to this community of broken but hopeful believers. And as we seek to walk beside the living Christ, we have the privilege of walking beside each other on the ground of being towards life's ultimate concern. As we answer his invitation to come and see, we discover our true identity as individuals and as a church in his name. and as we gently help each other to release our burdens into the entirety of Christ's love. With faith, we can take the first steps into the new life he offers. What are you looking for? Behold, here is the Lamb of God. Amen.